Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. Our show and tell this morning is the center post in the memorial courtyard, the post that has a plaque on it with Covenant's charter members. You see there listed the 70-some people who were original members of Covenant Presbyterian Church some decades ago. And what I want you to notice on this plaque right now is that the names of both men and women are listed in full. That's not always the case. So often in older historical records, the names of women are just folded underneath the names of the men in their lives, Mr. and Mrs. Ronald so-and-so. But there on that list, we have the names of men and of women together as equals. Imagine that. Today's scripture reading will have what's kind of a list of the charter members of the very first Christian church. And you'll notice that this list has some women in it, and even one woman's name. But there's a long way to come. See, we have known, even from the beginning, just how vital women's work is to communities like the church. Even in this more or less explicitly male-dominated institution. And the church sometimes has really worked hard to advance patriarchy, and sometimes the church has worked really hard to resist patriarchy. But we know that the Old Testament is full of stories of these valiant, clever, faithful women. We know that the New Testament names women in several places despite this overwhelming bias of Greek and Roman culture to push women off to the side. The authors have clearly made the choice to include women and even their names, including in today's scripture reading. So listen for the women in today's scripture reading. There's only one named, but you've heard of her, I'm sure of it. Will you join me in a prayer for illumination? Lord, dwell with us. Open the scriptures to us to make us wise. Tell us the good news of resurrection and set our hearts on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen. The scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. As I said last week, this is the third of 3 weeks hearing this same story from slightly different angles. When the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I got my second COVID-19 vaccine this week, which means I'm in that two-week period when I've done everything I can to contribute to immunity, and yet I'm waiting for that immunity to build up in my body. So that was one more little step toward the end of the active phase of this pandemic. We know that the pandemic is still very active elsewhere, and particularly in places without vaccine access. We ask for continued prayers for the people of India, and we recognize that variant viruses don't know borders any more than the original virus did. And we pray for those patent holders who might yet see clear to expand manufacturing to provide viruses beyond just a few, or to provide vaccines rather, beyond just a few countries. We pray for those authorities who could share stockpiles of vaccines with others. This late kind of strange in-between stage of the active part of the pandemic, this has highlighted just how few answers I ultimately have. Answers about how and when to adjust safety practices and protocols. Answers about what parts of normal we even want to return to as a people. But this is not the first time that we as a church have lived in ambiguous times. The scripture reading today comes from really ambiguous times. That 10-day gap in between Jesus' ascension into heaven and the Holy Spirit's descent into the church at Pentecost. Jesus specifically prescribed that this should be a waiting time for the church. Time to digest the feeling of Jesus being physically gone from them. Time to practice prayer and sharing with one another. And we know now that this is a 10-day duration. The early church didn't. All they knew was that there would be time. Today's reading of the story opened with that question about when will the kingdom come? And the answer is essentially, well, the Holy Spirit will come when she decides to show up. Maybe somebody started a betting pool, and somebody may even have chosen, well, probably the Festival of Weeks. I'm thinking that was Bartholomew that got that one right. But Luke doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us that anybody had any idea how long it was going to be before the Holy Spirit would show up in power on this new church. We, too, are called to be faithful. To be faithful without knowing the full itinerary of what God is going to do, when, and how. The apostles are there waiting along with Jesus' brothers and certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke didn't have to tell us about these women, but of course they were there. Of course they were there. It's an ambiguous time. And when there is an ambiguous time, it's the people familiar with ambiguity who show up. So it's the women, of course. Even if the women are recorded primarily through their relationship with a man, the women were there. It was the women who were used to keeping the world moving without having structural power in a world that privileges men or certain men anyway. Women are also generally the ones who show up with casseroles after a family tragedy. There's no accident there. It was women who invented Mother's Day as a peace appeal after the horrors of the Civil War. And many women learn to respond in such ambiguous moments because the world forces ambiguity on them. It's the people familiar with ambiguity who are the ones who show up. The doctors and the nurses and the teachers and the emergency responders who have made the world continue working even in the midst of these last many ambiguous months and continue to do so today. The Black and Indigenous and Latine communities who are already deep in ambiguity and danger in life are the ones who have stood up to say this ambiguous moment is the time when we could step forward as a culture. LGBTQ plus communities who know that their kin have nowhere else to go have opened their homes and their lives to one another even during this pandemic. The pastoral team and the directiva in San Isidro have distributed food and cared for one another. Other mutual aid initiatives have taken root, including right here at Covenant, because it's possible to step up in these ambiguous times. During this ambiguous time, it's our job, our calling, to wait and pray and act. To wait and pray and act as the power of the Holy Spirit reshapes this world, whether we're comfortable with that or not. We're still in between, both here at Covenant and in the story that we gather around this morning. In this in-between time, it's still not quite clear exactly what is supposed to happen next. It's not quite clear exactly what the way forward is. But to see those signs of what is next, to see those signs of what the way forward might be, we can look at the people who are already building the world for which I, for one, am not yet quite ready. And thank God for that. Because we can trust that even below the surface, Jesus' Spirit is at work. So we pray, we wait, and we work. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, a moment for mission. Our moment for mission this morning lifts up the per capita apportionment. Maybe the least exciting part of our mission and yet vitally important. Our per capita apportionment funds the work of the presbytery and the synod and the general assembly, those regional and national bodies of the church that support congregations, that coordinate our mission, and that serve as wider expressions of the church in the world. So when a congregation faces a crisis or a transition, the presbytery can be right there to help. When a natural disaster affects a community, Presbyterian disaster assistants can arrive, and when they arrive, they are relying on presbyteries and synods to be connected already to congregations in need. When a member answers a call to ministry, we need committee structures that can support their discernment process. All of these are institutional structures that are supported by the per capita apportionment. This is a contribution of money from congregations up through those governing bodies that connects our Presbyterian congregations, presbyteries, and synods with the work of the church. Covenant pays $45 per member to fund the work of the Des Moines Presbytery, the Synod of Lakes and Prairies, and the General Assembly. That funding comes from the church budget, but if you would like to help offset that expense, you may contribute $45 for each active member in your household and simply designate your contribution per capita.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.